Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our showrooms are open for business with your health and safety our priority. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. Just looking at the tweets this morning about what's happening in America, that photo opportunity when the protesters were cleared from outside the White House, cleared using tear gas and sound bombs, as they're called, to allow Donald Trump march triumphantly almost from the White House down to St. John's Church and stand there in front of a Bible. And Anne Applebaum, I don't know whether you know Anne Applebaum, she's a fantastic writer. She was tweeting there this morning that this is just the sign of the lunacy that the country is going through at the moment. Let me bring in Mike Rowe, 51551, wash your hands. Joe at RT.ie from anywhere in the world. Mike Rowe, good afternoon. You're in St. Louis. You're a retired police officer in St. Louis, Missouri. So thank you for your service, Mike. Mike, what's your take on what's happening?
Well, I don't think anybody really knows what to think of it. I understand. Definitely have a right to protest, but the protests are being hijacked by people that are using it to loot and rob people. So it just gets out of hand.
Do you think it's going to persist over the summer?
Well, with our quarantine and nobody working, that's certainly possible.
Yeah, okay, I want to bring in Sharon O'Rourke. Sharon, good afternoon. Stay there with us, Mike. Sharon, how are you? You're in Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
What's happening there with our protests in Dallas?
We did have one that first night, that Friday night, and it was just kind of out of the blue. People just showed up downtown, and they did a lot of damage down Main Street. They set a fire. You know, the one guy was actually shot. One of the neighbors was actually shot and left for dead. This is Dallas. You know, so this is kind of totally out of the blue. But actually, a friend of mine there, actually, I'm part of the Irish American Society.
Yeah,
they
live
downtown now. And so they could hear the fire. They could hear police, the shots. You could see the fire. So the next day they went and did the damage. And all along Main Street, there was, it said each little establishment, each little business had some sort of damage. So, but that was just kind of like, I didn't even know it happened. Just seeing it on Facebook, you know, my friends posting pictures of Dallas. And I thought, oh my goodness. Yeah.
So what do you think of the way Donald Trump is handling it?
I still love Donald Trump, and even though we've gone through a lot, it was like yesterday he did the press conference about say, hey, I'm not going to put up with any of this. So if there's any more looting, then we're going to arrest you, and that's the way it should be. And he actually got the states involved. We had the National Guard, so he involved the National Guard, and that's city and state. So that has nothing to do with the national level. This is the city and the state. That's where you've got to get the people have got to be activated is here. Yeah.
And his
so I was happy. I watched that and I was like, hey, yeah. So,
right. And, but his tweet saying he put the army on the street. That's a new one.
No, it's a National Guard.
No, he actually said the army. But he said the army as well, the heavily armed members of the military.
Right. But yeah, no, the National Guard is for the country, but it's each different state has their own National Guard.
I know it's a reserve, and it's called up, and they do 2 weeks every year training and a month. Sharon, what's the feeling in Dallas about what happened, George Floyd, and the that incredible video.
Because like I said, my niece is still Dallas police.
Okay.
She's current Dallas police. And my nephew is Fort Worth police, and her husband, my niece's husband, is Fort Worth police. Mm-hmm. And I talk to my niece all the time, so I still love the police department. And it was like, it doesn't matter. It's not police. It's individuals. Mm-hmm. Every walk of life has good people, and they have bad people. He just happened to be a bad apple. And there he had some disciplinary actions. This is the police officer that shot him. It was like he had over 18.
Yeah. I wonder what he was
saying. So he wasn't dispersed. He should have been, you know, disciplined for those 18 disciplinary actions. But nothing happened to him. I think it's something if he had had, if they had addressed that problem, he wouldn't have done what he did.
And when President Trump says, and other people allude to the fact that the protests have been hijacked by far-left groups, who are these far-left groups in the States?
Antifa.
The anti-fascist group.
It's just, we know about them, but they don't talk
about
them.
Well, how many are in Antifa? Who are they?
I'm not sure who the leader is. It's like that George Soros is one of the main little people who was a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, what you're saying, he does primarily a philanthropist. You're saying
he is the root of all the problems. Even the police shootings. You know, like I said, here, you know, with the police shootings, you know, in 2016, because like I said, my niece was a police officer.
Okay,
he's the cause of it.
What?
Because of George Soros, all these far left groups have gotten started. And they've
This is gone all Trump on me. You're saying George Soros is the cause of all of this.
Well, yes.
Why? Well, yeah. What's his objective?
He makes money.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. These people, and I'm like, why would you do this? It makes no sense. But these are paid thugs, like Antifa. Yeah. They get paid. Somebody's paying them to cause all this havoc.
What do you think of what Martin Luther King III said, that these protests are the voices of the unheard?
Right, it's the protest.
I'm afraid to ask you what you think
but
of Martin Luther King.
Rioters or not, you don't have the right to riot.
Yeah, no,
you don't have the right to light anything on fire. That's not your right.
Of course not.
You have to, yeah.
And what do you think of what Martin Luther King III said?
Oh, I agree. I agree. So.
Okay. Joanna Roach is in Wexford, originally from St. Paul, in Minnesota. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's actually Johanna.
Johanna,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, like a lot of Minnesotans, it's Scandinavian in origin.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, Johanna, tell us your take on what you're seeing. It must be it's very disturbing for everybody. But
I'm deeply shocked.
Yeah.
Minnesota would have always been considered a very liberal state, a high level of education. All of the 3M masks that are going around actually stand for Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing.
Okay.
If it had happened in a southern state, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, any of the southern states, I wouldn't be as shocked.
Okay.
I would have almost expected it.
Yeah.
But because it's in Minnesota, I think Minnesota only ignited it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to think that Minnesota is still a lot more than much more liberal than other states. For instance, the mayor of Minnesota is black. Mm-hmm. The chief of police is black.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Democratic state. It always votes Democrat. I finished secondary school, or I graduated from high school, as they say, in America in 1968. So I would have been 18 the year, everybody knows my age now, I would have been 18 the year that Martin Luther King was assassinated, Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, and the riots happened at the Democratic Convention in Chicago, and they were all very real.
Yeah.
And I guess in 1968 I had great hope, and I left really the United States. I did go to the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, but in the end I ended up living in Finland and meeting my Irish husband and moving to Ireland. But in 1968, I would have had great hopes that this was the beginning of a new era. And now I just feel like I'm back in 1968.
And what do you think of the president's take on all of this?
I think it's scandalous. I think he's ill-equipped in every single way. I think I read something that Obama wrote a few days ago, which is really what any developed country would expect from its leader to come out with. I'm shocked that he's president. I don't understand how people could have, how he even got there. I think he's only done a huge disservice for the United States. And I think in the passage of time, history will certainly show that clearly. I feel it's very polarized. I was actually there 2 years ago for my 50th class reunion.
Okay.
I went to a very small school. There were only 20 girls in my class, and there were no Trump supporters at all in it. But one of the things I felt was we all listened to National Public Radio, and then there was a whole other sector of other people who would have only listened to Fox News. And a friend and I decided we're going to watch Fox News because I said, look, we need to know the enemy, as it were. Not really, but, you know, we needed to know the other side. So we watched Fox News, and it was astounding in its incorrect and low level of reporting. My friend became so upset we had to turn it off. So if that's all you're watching is Fox News and you're only reading Fox Media, you're living in almost a parallel universe. The same factual information is not being given. And when the president said he's going to do something that, in fact, it's not possible for him to do, people don't take it any farther. They don't say that this is the Fox News. They don't say, well, actually, this isn't even possible. And I think he's basically feeding into his supporters. And because he now, because of the COVID-19 virus, he can't have the big rallies where all his adoring supporters wear red hats and wave flags. And because he's not being fed that feedback, I think he is coming out with these outrageous statements. He's missing that. He's missing that kind of celebrity adoration. And he's coming out with all these ridiculous statements all the time. One of my friends in St. Paul that I spoke to recently said that if one were to look at his statements, he always makes one of these outrageous statements to deflect from anything negative that has recently come up.
And what do you think of what Sharon O'Rourke, who is in Dallas, she's part of the Irish American Society, indeed, in Dallas, she says George Soros.
Sorry, I didn't hear her.
Right.
I didn't hear her. So I don't know what she said.
Well, she said it was all being financed by George Soros, the billionaire.
I don't know. Again, I don't have the facts. I believe there are very extreme left-wing sanction groups being off, but even probably as many right wings. I don't know. I wouldn't have the facts. So
okay.
I wouldn't know who.
Sharon, what media do you watch in the States? Do you watch Fox News?
Right, yes. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And do you think it's biased?
No. Okay. No, it's...
Do you watch CNN? Yeah.
No. They do clips of CNN. I'm thinking of... Yeah.
Is CNN biased?
Yeah, I've tried watching CNN, but it's just like they're just so far off the ball. They don't tell the real news. And so that's why when I've tried to watch CNN, I'm like, I know, just kind of like her and Fox, it made no sense. I'm like, this is just a whole lot of hate being put, and they don't give the truth. CNN does not portray this the truth.
Okay, and so, Johanna says that Fox News doesn't portray the truth.
I know. But she's liberal and I'm conservative. Like I'm proud, yeah. So that would make sense. I also live in Texas, which is more Republican.
But it doesn't mind if it does. It matters. It matters a dimwit whether you're liberal or conservative. The only thing that matters is the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And where is the evidence, Sharon? And I know this is a line pushed by Fox News and indeed one of the many conspiracy theories that Donald Trump comes up with, that this is somehow, there's an evil hand at the back of all of this.
Sorry. No, there is. Okay. I was researching the King assassination yesterday. Because I was like, Washington, D.C. was on fire. Yeah, on fire. I thought, oh, my God, this is horrible. Has this ever happened? And sure enough, like she said, in 1968, when King was assassinated, Washington, D.C. wasn't on. The same thing happened. Because I was thinking that nothing had happened. But, no, the same thing was happening. There was rioting. There was the fires, the...
Okay. Yeah. Let me bring in Bill O'Donoghue.
The same thing. It was almost a replay of what's happening now in Washington, D.C. in 1968. Yeah. With Washington, because of King's assassination and John F. Kennedy's, the Kennedys. And I thought, oh, my God, I did not know that. I did not realize that.
Did you
that.
See the chief of police in Houston, Texas, that said Trump should keep his mouth shut? That's Art Avocado.
We'd all be better off.
Yes.
Bill O'Donoghue is in Wisconsin. Bill, sorry for holding you there. What's happening? You're near Chicago. What's happening there, Bill?
No bother. Good morning. Yeah. I've spent the last 4 days in Chicago. So the Chicago police have been out in full force. We have the state troopers involved. We have the National Guard involved. And we have many protests, many innocent protesters. We have looting. We have people getting hurt, people getting injured. And again, you know, I think we just heard the two sides of American society there. It was interesting to hear. But, you know, the reality of it is, look, this is a symptom of something that's gone on for many years, back to Jim Crow laws and everything else. So this is a symptom. It's not going to go away. We've got 40 million people unemployed. That's not going to get better. And then we have a president who, instead of addressing the symptom and the problems and talking to the people that are affected by this, you know, he's planning to bring the American army against the American people. So we're in a bad spot, and it's not going to get better through the summer.
I see Carl Bernstein, the award-winning journalist, Watergate, I suppose, is the most people associate him. He's still a working journalist. He says in one of his tweets this morning, we've now watched an armed attack instigated by the President of the United States on peaceful, law-abiding demonstrators exercising their constitutional rights. All of Trump's actions and words have etched today as a grim moment in American history.
I would agree with that.
Johanna would agree with that. What
Absolutely.
Do you
think? Yeah.
No, I don't agree. Yes. Yeah, I don't agree with that.
What is your...
Trump did not start this. He had no control over anything happening. This is the far left in each city. The far left in each city.
God, there's an awful lot of them.
And the Trump tweets are his one direct asset to each person. So we need Trump needs to tweet each and every day, because that is his one direct, unfiltered voice to each of the people. And it's because he does that his support is so much stronger. These liberals think that it's dying. No, this is actually growing. Trump's going to come back in a landslide.
God.
They're going to knock it and know what happened to him. Yeah.
Brendan O'Carroll is in Orlando in Florida. Brendan, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good. What's happening? Is anything happening in Orlando, which is the city, the biggest city near you?
Well, no, it's not. Orlando is not. We're decentralized here, so Tallahassee is our capital. So if there's any protest, it'll be protest there. People are hardly going to go out and pick at Mickey Mouse where I am. And blame him. But I'm listening to the conversations here, and it's a great illustration of how polarized the United States of America are. I've been listening to Sharon in Dallas, and I mean, the one question Sharon needs to be asked, and I'm prepared to ask her. I can see where she is coming from. She's coming from Fox News. There's no doubt about that. But, for instance, does she think, for instance, that the death of Mr. Floyd was okay? That what happened was okay? Because this is what started this protest off. It's not George Soros or anybody else. It was the death of this man, with three policemen kneeling on him and one standing by, for 9 minutes when he screamed, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." This is what started this. So does Sharon, what's Sharon's reply to that? Did she think that was
wrong? No, it was not right. And that's the whole thing. Every human being on this earth who saw that video, every human being said that that was wrong. That was murder.
So the people decided to come out of their homes and protest against the systemic
killing
of black people.
This happens 1,000 times a year. Police kill, and they kill more white than they do black. Just 1,000 people get killed from the... Yes, they kill more white people than they do black people.
No,
so
Sharon,
this is
not true.
Something new. Yeah.
No, it's not new, and it's systemic. I mean, there's been 14 cases just in that city alone of policemen injuring black people who are suspected of a crime by kneeling on their neck. 14 times in the last 18 months that this has happened. So it's obviously systemic. This is not a couple of bad apples. Time after time, I keep hearing this in the United States of America. When something like this happens, it's just a couple of bad apples. Go over the last, just even the last few weeks, four people who were black and were suspected of a crime or not suspected of a crime, shot, and no repercussions whatsoever. And this is the outburst of people who have just said, "Listen, we've had enough." I heard you talking about researching Martin Luther King's, after Martin Luther King's death. It actually wasn't, I think it was after Rodney King's death you're talking about, when L.A. Was burning. But even at that time, it just all quelled down and went back to normal. I don't know if any change is going to come out of what's going on now, but certainly there's no change going to come from the White House.
And what do you
think? The answer is not to use the reserve, not to use the state's own reserve army, but to put the actual army in to control these people. He was going to use a legislation that hasn't been used for about 208 years, a sedition legislation, to use the American army against American people.
And Brendan, what do you think of the actions of the President of America, especially in the last few days, the march last night with the Bible down to the church, the clearing of protesters?
I was sick to my stomach watching it, Joe. They charged the police, charged, and the National Guard, charged the people on Lafayette Avenue down that street to clear the street so he could walk down for a photo shoot with a Bible. It was sickening to watch.
And Brendan, you live in the States. You're a resident there. Would you be tempted to not live there?
Well, no, Joe. I mean, I lived through the civil rights marches in Ireland as well. I think it, you know, the one great voice that we have here in the United States of America is the vote. You know, people have to stop. I think, look, you can stop protesting now. You've made your point. Now, vote. I think if 20% of those people who are protesting in cities all over America, in every single state in America, if they just went out and voted, you know, there's. I heard a quote once about the American populace that they would go around the world to fight a war but wouldn't walk across the street to vote. They have to vote. They have to get out and let their voices be heard at the ballot box.
And what about about George Soros and Antifa, this anti-fascist? It's a loose gathering of people, is it? From my knowledge.
There is no anti-fascist group per se. That's why Sharon can't say who's the head of it, because there is no group per se. Antifa is like... It's like Weight Watchers, you know. It's a loose group of people who believe in the same thing, but there's no organisation to it. And the idea that George Soros is funding it is, well, very. It's a conspiracy theory that George Soros funds it. But if he does, what's he doing? He's paying people to break windows. He's paying people to loot. Looting and breaking windows always goes on through any riot anywhere in the world. You'll always have a handful of people who take advantage of something like that. While the police are diverted, while everybody else is thinking of something else, they take an opportunity to break into a store or smash some windows and loot. You're always going to get that. if you let that be the thing, and this is the problem, I feel sorry for the genuine protesters over here. If you let that be the thing, if the press concentrate as that the thing, we forget that that young man was held on the ground for 9 minutes with a knee on his neck while he was screaming, I can't breathe.
Would you be tempted to join the if there was a protest march in Orlando, would you go on it, Brendan?
I possibly would, Joe, if there was, but I'd rather just make sure that I do it at the ballot box.
Okay. Sharon, just in terms of one of the Fergus upstairs went to try and fact check your point about more white people are killed by the police. Well, first of all, we know as a proportion of the population, they're much more white people than black people. But according to mapping police violence, last year more than 1,000 people were killed by police in the United States of America. Black people were disproportionately among those killed, the group found. Black people accounted for 24% of those killed, despite making up what percentage of the American population is black, Sharon?
No. About 11, I think. Sorry.
Yes.
Many, Sharon?
What
percentage of the American people are black? The American population is black?
I'm not sure.
Is it more than 20%? Is it more than 20%?
No, the whites still have the majority.
Yeah, it's 13.
But now
Brendan O'Connor was close, so he said 11. It's actually.
We have our Mexican group too.
Yeah, but it's 13% of the population of the United States of America are black, and they represent 24% of those who've been killed by the police.
And even the state,
Kevin Battle is in Maine in the USA, a retired police officer. Kevin, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Good afternoon. How are you today? There's a big difference between a protester and a rioter. Protesters are expressing their rights, the freedom of speech, and have a point. The rioters are just opportunists that look to take advantage of the situation for their own benefit. And a lot of times it's trying to cover their trail by doing the damage and the fires and hoping to get away with things that has little to do with the issue. I'm all for the protesters and support the protesters. The rioters, they are wrong and very wrong.
So you support the protesters, but is it not fair to say that Donald Trump has basically linked them all together? Protesters, as far as he's concerned, are rioters.
No, that's not.
Well,
on Saturday when we had our NASA thing, and that was the first time he mentioned this, he specifically said that the protesters have that First Amendment right to protest, and that is protected, and he will protect that First Amendment right to protest. But it's the ones that aren't, you know, are the Antifa, and he even mentioned Antifa in that was it. Yeah, he said that he would not stand.
It was protesters that were battle charged last night to allow him to go down to a church that was closed to pose with a Bible. It was protesters that the police cars drove into in New York. They weren't people looting. They were protesters on the freeway.
The mayor's daughter got arrested.
The one in Brooklyn, New York. The daughter got arrested. Before that, they were attacking the car.
Yeah, Kevin, what that video was doing, as well as there's a horrific video of a woman being savagely beaten by three black men outside her shop that she's trying to protect. I mean, there's some very disturbing videos doing the rounds. Kevin, what did you think of that other disturbing video, which was the two police Land Rovers or Jeeps or SUVs mowing into a crowd? Kevin?
Like I said, I only saw the bits and pieces of it, and it, you know, was edited for what they showed. The initial is they're showing the group attacking the vehicles, and then the officers lunging forward then with their vehicle. you don't have the whole picture, so it's hard to...
Right. Because that had been going on for quite a while. They were trying to clear the crowd for quite a while before that happened. And they wouldn't, the crowd would not leave.
Johanna is from St. Paul, Minnesota, and is now living in Ireland. Johanna, you wanted to come in there, please.
Well, the first thing I want to do is correct an error I made, which is the mayor of Minneapolis is black, not the mayor of Minnesota. The governor is, in fact, white. But one of the things that upset me the most is, and I've asked friends in Minnesota, why no one came to that man's aid. It was 9 minutes, as was said earlier. That's a very long time. And when I just feel that...
Who do you mean, Johanna?
Onlookers, the fellows, the three other police officers, obviously, but the onlookers. There were a lot of onlookers asking the police to stop and telling them that the man couldn't breathe. And I asked a friend in St. Paul, why did no one come to their aid? I said, I can't imagine that happening in Ireland. Someone would have pulled the Garda off. I don't think a Garda would do that in the first place, not in a minute. But they said that they assumed, but they weren't sure, but they assumed that all of the bystanders were black. And even if there was a non-black bystander, that if they went and they pulled the police officer off that man's neck, they would have been shot and killed.
Okay.
So the level of fear that the American people must have in relation to their police force is astounding. And I think because the police in America are incredibly well equipped, well, too well in my opinion, with combative material, you know, really assault weapons, war, you know, World War III quality weapons, they have too much power. And the fact that the police officer has only been charged with third-degree murder, I think, is a scandal. He murdered that man. It's first-degree murder, not third-degree murder. And also the fact that the other three officers remain unarrested. You know, the police, as far as I understand, in America, have the power. They can arrest on the spot for suspicion of something. But the fact that they haven't done that yet, I think, is contributing to the ongoing unrest.
Johanna's absolutely right, Joe.
Brandon, yes.
Johanna's absolutely right. Those people who were shouting at the officers, please, he can't breathe, please get off him. But they were terrified, absolutely terrified, to even deem to go near what was going on for fear they would be shot. Look, it's an actual fact here in the United States of America that black fathers have to do things that white fathers will never have to do. Black fathers have to sit their kids down at some stage when they're coming into their teens, probably earlier than that, and explain to them that they're not going to be treated the same as other kids.
The black fathers,
that they're going to be treated the same as other teenagers.
They're not here. They're absent.
That's an incredible generalization.
Very unfair.
So this is what the problem in Chicago. What about the deaths in Chicago every day? The blacks shooting the blacks every day. We have over 200 people shot every day in Chicago, black on black. And nobody addresses it because the fathers are missing in action. The black fathers are missing in action. And this
is
systemic across the whole country.
That's a horrible thing to say. You know, when white men go missing from a family home, it's just a fact of life. But when a black man goes, it's systemic abandonment, and that's not the case here. It doesn't matter whether you're a single parent from a single parent family, whether it's male or female. Maybe the mother has to sit down and teach the kid that you can't behave like other kids. You know, it's possible to be shot, what they call over here is DWB, driving while black. You know, it's completely different. If I'm stopped on the road by a policeman, the treatment I get is absolutely first class. I get called sir. I get the best of manners. I certainly wouldn't want to be black and be stopped for speeding or for having a taillight out, because you just don't know what's going to happen next. Because people are like, you know, Johanna is absolutely right. She has it down pat. Unfortunately, Sharon, I don't think you understand that coming from a black perspective, life is completely different for a black man in America or a black woman in America than it is for a white person.
Well, you know, I'm Mexican. I'm Mexican-American, too. I have more Mexican blood in me than I do, like, Irish.
Okay. That's...
So I have a Native American. I'm part Native American. But that's a whole other issue. Yeah.
I don't remember when Americans were slaves or when Mexicans were slaves.
No, no. My family came in 1817.
Okay.
My uncle,
yeah. Okay,
yes.
Let me bring in Catherine Cronin. Okay, hang on there, Sharon. Catherine's been holding on for a while. Apologies, Catherine's in Norcross in Georgia. Atlanta, born and raised. Your perspective on what's happening, Catherine?
From my perspective, there's two groups here. There's protesters and there's looters. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so the looters took advantage of the situation. But protesters, I protested myself. I'm still waiting for my check from Mr. Soros. You know, where is it?
You have to be the looter. It's not the protesters, he doesn't care about the protesters. It's the looters that he cares about. And he does pay people. People do
get paid.
Catherine, you say in your...
This goes back Occupy Wall Street.
Okay, that was mentioned
this
as well yesterday. I wanted to let Catherine speak.
This has been in stemming for many years.
I presume, Sharon, will you vote for Donald Trump again?
Right.
Will you?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And the whole thing, there's no alternative.
Okay.
The Democrat Party has given us no alternative.
Okay.
No. You have to vote. So even Democrats are going to be voting for Donald Trump because there's no alternative.
Yeah. Catherine, you say in your communication, I am white but have an adult male child who is mixed race. He is a first responder who works in downtown Atlanta. What have things been like for him, Catherine, your son?
He's a paramedic. He works at the public hospital, so he sees some things that the rest of us don't want to see, frankly. But for him, it's been okay. I mean, the Atlanta leadership has done a very good job of addressing the situation, and speak from the heart, and it's really been pretty good. The mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, and a rapper in Atlanta, Killer Mike. I mean, they got on TV. They spoke from the heart. They said that this is your city. Atlanta is a predominantly black city, and it's a good place for African Americans in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, don't burn your city down.
And what do you think, and we remind people as well that the vast majority of the protests have been peaceful, and the vast majority of the protesters have been peaceful. Catherine, what do you, and Sharon is a Trump supporter, and I welcome her on the program, and she gives a perspective, and she doesn't resile from it. But Catherine, what do you think of what Sharon is saying about Antifa, and there's hidden hands at work here, and there's conspiracies?
As the other gentleman said, Antifa is not an organized anything. It's anti-fascism. So if you're not anti-fascism, are you pro-fascism? I mean, that's what you're saying, I think. If you're not against fascism, are you for it? As apparently the president of the United States is, that's insane. You know, we fought world wars against fascism. Our grandfathers were anti-fascist. Are we not anymore? That's just crazy.
Sharon, do your friends, did they vote for, sorry, your friends that did vote for Donald Trump, if you were aware of the way they voted?
A lot of them are Democrats. So they did vote for Hillary the last go round.
Okay.
And in fact, I kept quiet for a long time and didn't let anybody know I was a Trump supporter because even neighbors here, they're Democrats, big Democrats.
Hmm.
So I don't say. They don't even know.
Have you any idea what way they might vote
this
year?
Because we were so scared to speak up. In 2016, we were scared to speak up about being a Trump supporter.
But Sharon, does that not say at all that the people who were voting for Hillary
Now I scream from the rooftop. I'm a Trump supporter because he did so much. He has done so much in the past 3 years.
What exactly?
This is the best economy we've ever had. The best economy we've ever had.
We have 20 million people unemployed right now. That's a great economy.
No, that's because of the COVID virus. We had the best employment record, even the blacks. There were more blacks employed over the past 2 years than ever. The COVID came in and wiped that all out. And that's why the Democrats are hoping that, extend the COVID, because that's what damages the economy.
Oh, for God's sake, stop.
Really?
Stop. The Democrats are hoping that the COVID will keep going so they can get rid of Trump. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Yes, that's what's just, yes, the Democrats.
Oh, don't talk. That's talking through your hat.
No, because what stopped the economy?
There's not one American I know. There's not one American that I know, that whether they're Democrat or whether they're Republican, that hope that COVID goes on and gets worse.
Right.
Nobody I know. Democrat or otherwise.
And Sharon, what do you think of the way, I can answer this almost, you think Donald Trump handled the COVID crisis brilliantly?
Right, he did.
That's right.
If it had been anybody else,
no, that's fair. Brandon,
we would have had he was told that there would be 2 million people dead. And if he hadn't done what he did, there might have been, in the United States
what
of
exactly
America,
did he do?
2 million people dead.
What did he
but
do?
He did. He handled it so that we didn't
have
those death numbers.
What did he do?
Brandon, what
Catherine,
how did... Well,
the shelter in place.
No,
heck, I've been sheltering in place in this apartment for 2.5 months. Not because I wanted to.
I'm listening to how well, Sharon's saying how well that Trump handled this. When the report just last week showed that if he just acted 2 weeks earlier, not a month earlier or 2 months but if he acted two weeks earlier, 36,000 lives would have been saved.
He acted immediately.
No, that's not CNN.
It
was a university in Washington.
The Hopkins University.
No, he
did.
No, he acted immediately.
The highest number of deaths.
Okay, let me just ask people. Catherine Cronley, what do you think of the way Donald Trump handled the coronavirus pandemic?
I think he didn't handle it. He didn't. There is no leadership. We're in the situation we are now because there is no leadership. It's not my fault. I take no responsibility. He's the leader of this country. He's responsible. He should be given a here's what we need to do. Here's how we need to do it. Nope, states, you're responsible and pushing people to open up before we were ready. The numbers of deaths in Georgia are, we opened up way too soon, in my opinion. And if you look at the number of deaths reported by the CDC, the number of pneumonia cases went from about 500 a year to 5,000 this year because they're fudging the numbers. That came from the CDC. They're fudging the numbers. They're making things look better than they are. It's not good out there. Like I said, my son's a first responder. He checks people for COVID. He's transmitted the cases. He puts himself at risk. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I'd love to know if Sharon contemplated drinking bleach. Sharon contemplated drinking bleach as the president advised to get rid of this COVID.
It's been
ridiculous. He did not suggest that,
and that's a big falsehood. He had to come back the next day and tweet because of that.
He said, what harm can it do?
Trump has been out there every day. There has been press conferences every day with Trump and Fauci and the other, even the vice president, every day.
So the other day,
Trump has been out there with us.
So
he has been very active. Every day I see Trump out there, every day.
So the other day when he went down to the bunker and turned off the lights in the White House like a coward, that was appropriate?
No. I didn't even hear that.
Yeah,
see, these are
he
that
sure
fake
did.
News
Turned
stories.
Off the lights to the White House.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Sharon,
why
do you think he went down to a church yesterday and posed with a Bible?
Fake news.
No.
Oh,
he's a
Sharon, Brendan's question.
He didn't do it. There's no reason to do that.
He did it.
Sharon,
no, he didn't.
The photograph of
Sharon, why did he go down to a church yesterday to pose with a Bible? What was that for?
Because it went on fire. Yes, that was in Washington, D.C., and the church that had been there since 1816 was on fire the night before. And so that's why he was there.
You've got to be better off going down with a bucket of water.
By the way, Brendan, how was your work affected by the COVID-19?
We had a tour planned for June, July, August of this year, through the UK and Ireland, which was finished in December in Dublin in the Tree Arena, which we had to push back by a year. Same dates next year, but we had to push the tour back by a year. So, but other than that, we managed to be able to pay everybody.
Okay.
So you got to keep people have to have to eat. So you just keep going and see what happens next. But I'm confident that by next year, I'm confident in America. To be quite honest with you, Joe, unless you turned on the news here in Orlando, you wouldn't know that anything was going on. The shops never closed. Most of the shops never closed. The supermarket was always fully stocked. The golf clubs have never been. Our golf club here has never been closed. So it's much more relaxed than it is in Europe and certainly at home in Ireland.
Yes,
One thing I am delighted with is that over here, when you look at the news broadcasts or look at any international news, they do hold Ireland up as a great example of how people are doing what's right for the COVID-19. It makes you very proud when you see that.
Okay, Brendan, what about the Christmas specials, the two Christmas specials?
We'll be recording them in October, and we have a list of guidelines that came. We got a list of guidelines from BBC from about 2 weeks ago, with about 70 things on the list of things we can and can't do, and how we're going to approach it. But I think that list is getting shorter and shorter as time goes on. You know, as another week goes on, they go, well, they can take that off the list and that off the list.
Okay.
It's getting a little bit more.
So you're confident? You're confident that we'll go ahead, Brendan.
The recordings definitely will go ahead, but whether or not we have an audience, audience, that's going to be the thing. So, but I'm really, these things pass very, very quickly, and it's quite possible. But as soon as we get to August, Joe, people look back in this part of the year and go, let's just forget it ever happened and get going. Okay. I think it's going to be a bounce back. Okay. I really do.
Okay, Justin King is in Madison, in Wisconsin. Justin, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hello. Yeah, no, I was just, I'm just listening to all of this and, I'm living it with having a young family and all that stuff here. And I'm 8 miles from the capital and, you wouldn't see it here, but all of the damage that is being done is delegitimizing the right that people have to protest about things they don't agree with. And what I want to go back to with that is, it's a small shower of chancers who are going in and they're looting. And what they're doing is downtown, it's all small shops. It's all small businesses that they broke into. There's a jeweler that's been downtown forever and a day, and they looted it. I mean, where is the right in that when you've got people protesting legitimately? These other guys come in and they make it bad for all of those people who are really serious about having their voice be heard about, the kind of crime and violence that's perpetrated against black people every day. And I will tell you, from having worked in the schools here as a special ed teacher, ed para, it's like a teacher support, you want to talk about why black fathers are separated from their children and that kind of thing. It's like you can see and those kids come in. They come in on the bus in the morning. They typically may or may not have had a breakfast. They may or may not know where they're going to be staying that night. Some of them are staying in hotels. Some of them, and these are like American-born citizens, little small people who look to you for care and affection and all that stuff. And as a white man here working with, children of colour and stuff like that, when I was doing it, I was acutely aware of the fact that I would get to go home that evening and have a dinner with my family and my children and know that I was going to tuck them into bed at night and stuff like that. It's like there's a divorce between the compassion that you have as a human. I mean, we're faulty, man. We are faulty out of the box, going back forever and a day. Humans are faulty. If you just look at the way the English treated the Irish, we were nothing better than pigs at one point. The Punch comics illustrations show that. You come back to what I was, my main point though, was like these little small people don't know where they're going in some cases. They don't have the latest, greatest of anything. And they have an awful lot of problems and issues that it's like self-perpetuating, right? If it starts out like that and you start out with no decent male role models and nobody to give you a hug when you're not feeling good or nobody around, I'm telling you from a real solid experience, it all it does is it evolves and moves forward.
But are you not talking about poverty there, Justin?
Exactly. That chap is totally right. There's those that have, and there's those that have not. And believe me, I've been in the have-not category here myself, and my have-not, when I lost my job several years ago, my have-not was still better than those kids and their families and their have-not. I never had to sleep in a hotel. I found a way to wing it. I'm a white man, and I made opportunities for myself, and I was taken seriously and legitimately because of that. Do you know what I mean?
It's very, very disappointing and depressing to look at these children and know they're 5 to 10 years of age and they are already doomed. Already.
Yeah, they've
no
chance.
Honestly,
they are. And I've watched, there's one child in particular that I worked with, and oh my God, I absolutely adored him. It took a really long time in terms of like working with him to actually get through to him. And I can't tell you, just it's confidentiality, I can't tell you, but the stuff that little boy would say was coming from nowhere good. And one day he fell on the playground and he looked around for me and he wanted a hug and a cuddle. And I swear to God, I thought he was never going to let me go. And I was nearly in tears knowing his background and knowing how much it must have taken for him to do that. And I've watched him get older in a sort of more abstracted role because I don't work in the schools anymore. But he's going to get lost. He's going to get lost when he gets into, you know, high school. He has behavioural issues that stem from, you know, seeing things in his household that no child ought to see, ever.
You're absolutely right when you said that there's the haves and there's the have-nots, because the problem is, Joe, there's the haves and there's the have-nots, and there's no one in between. There's nothing in between.
There's a struggle. There's a struggle in the in-between. For example, I would not consider myself to be, like, in the have. I have enough. Mm. I don't have excess. I don't have a fancy car. I don't have a boat. You know, making the mortgage every month is like an achievement and a woohoo. And, you know, I mean, the coronavirus has hit my household in terms of our household income. And I'm so lucky to have my job and that I can work remotely. But what I'm saying is I am lucky, but I don't have in the way that you think of people who have like a pool and all that kind of stuff. I'm not there. I'm just getting by.
Many of these single families, Joe, that are you know, with mother only, the mother is doing 2-3 jobs a day just to try and keep things together for the kids. So they're latchkey kids already as soon as they're born. And the mother is doing, you know, talk about how many jobs Donald Trump has created. There's jobs he's created already, but they're $8 an hour. You know, they're not jobs that you can do a 40-hour week and live on it. They're jobs that you have to take another job with that and another job with that.
Okay, Maureen Stoltzman is in Minneapolis. Maureen, thank you for joining us. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. First and foremost, I want to, you know, let people know that what they've seen of Minneapolis is very bad indeed, and that is not how we as a city would have wanted to be portrayed. This is a hard thing for us to have been a part of. To see what it's started across the country is horrifying. To watch my city burn is horrifying. Mm-hmm. But I want to point to the fact that, you know, this man died with a knee on his neck. Mm-hmm. In my mind, that is a symbol of tyranny. And it's a symbol of what we've let our police force in this country become. Racism, of course, is a systemic issue in our country. But excessive use of force by our police department is a real issue for us. We have an almost militarized police department, and they come into these neighborhoods armed to the hilt. They are clearly afraid of what could happen, and they're paranoid and they're afraid. and they're very much not in step with the communities that they police. And this is just a problem right across the country. The burning and the looting that occurred here is devastating to the community. That is a poor neighborhood in Minneapolis, and the businesses that were burnt were largely minority-owned, serving that community with essential groceries, other things that they need. People can't get those services now. And what I've seen is my city respond through an army of people descending upon that neighborhood with gifts of groceries, lining up to clean up the graffiti, the glass, the destruction that was occurred, and pooling money to help these businesses get back on their feet. Yeah. But it was a very scary, very real, raw time for our city last week. Very, very painful for us.
And Joe, can I say two things?
Yes, Brandon.
First of all, I've been to Minneapolis, St. Paul. You won't get nicer people. You won't get more friendly people. They're absolutely wonderful, wonderful places to be. Lovely, lovely place. Immaculately kept, fantastic place. The other thing is the militarization of the police force. There are police forces over here that have tanks, that have armored cars. There's $1.6 billion was spent last year on the militarization of the police forces across America. $1.6 billion, where teachers are putting their hand in their own pockets to buy pencils and pens for kids. It's just upside down here.
Dr. Ebon Joseph, Dr. Joseph Ebon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much, Joseph Carr.
How are you?
Very fine, thank you.
Okay, you describe yourself as a black academic living in Ireland. How do you think we do when it comes to racism, Ebon?
I don't think we're doing too well. And I know I'll get trolled for saying this, but it is our reality. It is our lived reality. You know, we're all looking at what is happening in the U.S. right now, and everybody's pointing to the U.S. and the U.K. I'm saying, yes, it's happening there, but what about what is happening for us back home here? You know, so when I look at and I hear, when I say I can't breathe, you know, I hear that on a different note. When I saw what happened, I'm looking at, you know, race and racism here in Ireland, you know, and, you know, even how we are also saying that we cannot breathe. You know, I think for me, what we want to begin to look at that in 2020, we are still having the conversation whether there is racism in Ireland. That's the conversation we're still having. So that means that we have not even started addressing it if we're still questioning whether there is racism in Ireland, whether we're still questioning whether we can be racist as a nation.
And when you said that right at the start, Ebon, that you will be trolled.
Oh, yes, totally. I was yesterday morning, you know, because I just went on my page and, you know, on my Twitter, and I just, you know, I was looking through I wanted to authenticate my Twitter account because there's a parody account that they set up about me, and it's using my face and it's posting very racist and transphobic things, you know, using my face, and I've been trying to get Twitter to take it down. So I just looked to see. I have blocked 725 people.
Wow.
Do you know how much energy it takes me to have to block 725 people? 725 people I've had to block. This week alone, the number of people who have trolled me, what did I say? I just went online to, you know, to challenge some inequalities in the society. Do you know? And so that's it. I'm told that I should be grateful that Ireland gave me an education. You didn't give me. I went to school. I paid for it. I learned. I studied. Nobody read for me. I read by myself. Do you understand? So when you say you gave me, I mean, Joe, is anybody asking you to be grateful that they gave you an education? Is somebody asking you to be grateful for the salary you're earning? So why is somebody asking me to be grateful that I'm having an earning? I'm working for it. You know, and so I'm going to be trolled immediately. That's it. You know,
and
they're going to come out from the woodwork.
Insofar as you know, who would have set up a racist parody account about you, Ebon?
It definitely is somebody from Ireland. Definitely from somebody from Ireland.
Okay, yeah.
You know, Yeah, because wow. you know they keep saying that you know they are foreign. No, it's not a foreign person because during the because I monitored what they do on the account. Like during when we have the election, and I would almost be sure the person might be a political person because during the elections, during the voting, the activities on that account kind of froze up. I'm like, okay, they are probably trying to get you know votes or something like that, you know, and then it comes back again. So it comes up with activities that are happening in Ireland. So it follows. So the account, you know, revives, you know, with activities. When we had talk about the black and trans, you know, they posted transphobic things, you know, using black and trans, you know, like just some things, like just like I can't even begin. Like it's just vile stuff, you know, that is up there, you know. So yes, you know, and we say we don't have racism in Ireland. In January this year, I was trolled so badly. I had to get to a point where I told myself, I said, you know what? I'm not responsible for what people do online. I'm not responsible if they use my picture to say stuff. Everybody needs to be responsible for themselves when they go online. And that was the only way I could just, you know, free myself from it.
Did you go on the protest yesterday?
I couldn't go because I was worried about the 5 kilometers and 17 kilometers from the city centre, you know. So okay. I was worried and it was still, yes, I was looking at the 7 kilometers.
Stay with us and I'm going to talk to Karen afterwards who went on the protest yesterday.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland for 2022 with Hyundai. Your Hyundai dealer is ready to answer your questions about electric, hybrid, and eco-friendlier petrol and diesel models. Because Hyundai don't have just one, we have all the power options. Visit Hyundai.ie to discover our 202 offers. Restart your journey towards a greener Ireland at Hyundai.ie.
If it sometimes feels like every day is the same,
then Cruinniún an Óg on June 13th is going to be a day like no other.
Join families across Ireland for a day of creative activities.
We're having a ceilidh in our kitchen.
I'll be a story keeper.
And I'm doing a creative challenge.
You'll find all the activities and resources at creativeireland.gov.ie.
And share everything with the hashtag Creative Ireland.
An initiative of the Government of Ireland in partnership with local authorities and RTE.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Yo, Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715
815. And Joe at RTE.ie. Karen Miano. Karen, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. I know you created Origins LA, as you say. It's a queer black Irish organisation. Were you on the demonstration yesterday, Karen?
Yes, I was. And I think it's actually important to say that there is another one coming up on the 6th of January. So this Saturday at the US Embassy with Merge, Maasai and Black Pride Ireland.
OK. And did the Gardaí, as far as you know, I don't know who organised yesterday's. It was a massive demonstration for the times we live in. Karen, did the Gardaí say anything to you yesterday about social distancing?
I think everyone was kind of left up to that to themselves, and I think to the best of our ability, you know, there was social distancing, but I'm not really here to focus on that that much, because I think at the end of the day there is other ways to protest. You know, you can protest virtually, and I think there is a lot of focus right now on like the health and public safety, which I'm not dismissing at all. I think that is important. But I think it was important for people to also be given that opportunity to sit and grieve with each other and to show up for each other.
And what was the atmosphere like on the demonstration?
The atmosphere was really peaceful. It was, you know, there was a solidarity of sort of energy in the air. And I think that was needed, because a lot of this has been online and we have been kind of, you know, cooped up in our houses, in our thoughts, kind of insularly grieving. And I do, you know, I think it was useful for people to gather in that way. But again, you can do this virtually. You know, you can tackle these issues on a very basic level as well. Just talking to your friends about racism, you know, initiating.
Have you experienced racism, Karen?
Well, I think that's not even a question. I'm black, of course. I think it's not really a debate. You know, like, yes, every black person in Ireland has experienced racism, of course. And I think that sometimes the lens can be, in terms of racism, we can kind of see it from an Americanized point of view. But we need to understand that this is happening in every country, and we all have our own individual issues. You know, Ireland has a systemic issue with, you know, the Magdalen laundries, the direct correlation between that and direct provision. There's a whole plethora of things that we need to deal with here in Ireland on the micro and macro.
Well, the main difference in Magdalen laundries and DP, which is awful, is that there's much more scrutiny now of what's happening in the direct provision. Like, we've had residents phone directly this program 4 or 5 years ago to talk about their awful experience. But anyway, and Karen, Dr. Ebon Joseph's point about, like, the she knows by even speaking out today she'll be trolled on Twitter.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
I mean, that's just an everyday thing, really, isn't it? And I think it's, my heart does go out to her just listening to that, because, you know, that's proof that there is racism. Not that we need any more people talking about, like, the proof or, like, disproving it. It's there, it's happening in virtual spaces and in real life.
Okay, I want to go back to the States for a second, to Massachusetts. Frank Gillespie, you all know Frank most people know Frank through his connection with Brendan Grace, the late Brendan Grace, who was his father-in-law. Frank, good afternoon. Your daughter has a pub in Boston, I think. What's happening?
That's right, Joe. My daughter has the industry along with her boyfriend. He's from Dundalk, and they have the industry in Dorchester, and I was in there yesterday with her. They're actually not open, but they're just open for takeaways and stuff. So,
is that because of COVID-19 or riots 2020?
It's because of COVID, and they're just allowed to open for takeaway. So, next weekend is Dorchester Day, so there will be a lot of people and festivals and stuff going on. So people are getting a bit nervous. They heard that there was going to be demonstrations in the suburbs. So there were some of them are just boarding up their premises and stuff like that in case anything happened. But hopefully it'll go off peaceful.
And what do you think of how President Donald Trump is handling it?
I think you can't play fire with fire. He needs to come out with a little bit more empathy and talk to the people and be more concerned rather than sending troops on the streets. I think that we will obviously have to curtail all the stuff that's going on with the rioting and the breaking into shops and the anarchy that is there. This isn't doing anything for the family of the poor man that was killed.
Okay.
Well, even his family has... His family has come out and condemned it, and it's a shame.
Okay, I'm way over time. Stay safe, Frank Gillespie, Dr. Ebon Joseph, Karen Miano, Brendan O'Carroll. You mind yourself, and thanks to everybody on the programme. Thanks to your contribution today. Maeve Mooney is a broadcast coordinator, Richie Byrne in research, Cara Hare was in sound, and Annette Egan produced.